Business and investors take heat in Turkey.
This podcast is supported by Netflix Instant Streaming. Thousands of TV episodes and movies on your computer or mobile device instantly streamed by Netflix to save you time, money, and hassle. Free 30-day trial now at netflix.com/APM.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Global Perspective on Business and Economics. In Turkey, authorities have bulldozed barricades in Taksim Square, the heart of protests against the government of Tayyip Erdogan. There were indications today the prime minister would meet with protesters, but talks maybe through intermediaries instead. Protesters see the government as authoritarian and heavy-handed. Erdogan has lashed out against, among others, those in the business community supporting the protests. The BBC's Duncan Crawford is in Istanbul. Duncan, good morning.
Good morning.
What's the scene there this morning?
Well, it's very calm this morning. There are still lines of police trucks in Taksim Square. You know, this square has been sealed off by the protesters with self-made barricades, but yesterday that changed. Riot police marched in here, and these clashes began yesterday. They went on right into the early hours of this morning with a lot of tear gas being fired. Most of the protesters, they remain peaceful, but some were throwing rocks and fireworks as well.
Now, Prime Minister Erdogan has urged boycotts of private businesses that he sees as supporting the protests. He says he wants to, quote, throttle financiers who've hurt his country. He was talking about the other day, one bank, two banks, three banks, you have started this fight, you will pay for it. Give us a sense of the context for comments like that.
Well, the Prime Minister, well, he gave a speech yesterday, in fact, where he would no longer tolerate these protests going on. He's talked about businesses, as you say, blaming them. The stock market, you know, last week, it plunged by more than 10%, its sharpest drop in one day in over 10 years. So the government itself, it does retain a lot of support, particularly outside of the cities amongst Turkey's more religious conservative communities. And at the moment, it's very difficult to see how these protests are going to come to an end.
Has there been a reaction within the business community as it faces some of this blame?
Well, I was speaking to a hotel owner very close to Taksim Square last night who said his business certainly was suffering. That said, tourist areas of Istanbul have been largely unaffected, where the Blue Mosque is and various palaces and what have you. I was speaking to a restaurant owner, though, who felt that there were less tourists coming, and he viewed these protesters as vandals who were destroying public property, and in his mind, they were damaging the Turkish economy, and he wanted them to stop.
The BBC's Duncan Crawford in Istanbul. Duncan, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Turkey had been a favorite of foreign investors, and the Turkish stock market had skyrocketed. Amid the civil unrest, all the gains this year in the key stock index in Istanbul have been wiped away. Turkey has raised interest rates to keep capital from leaving the country. Now let's do more numbers. The FT 100 in London currently up 0.1%. The Nikkei fell 0.2% overnight after the Dow fell 116 points yesterday. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up. The 10-year bond yield is down at 2.19%.
This podcast is supported by Netflix Instant Streaming. Watch thousands of TV episodes and movies on your computer, iPad, iPhone, or TV instantly. Streamed now by Netflix, a great value. Netflix Streaming has lots of movie and television options, including past seasons of House of Cards, Breaking Bad, and Arrested Development. Watch them using Netflix Instant Streaming and find thousands of other TV series and movies during your free 30-day trial at netflix.com/APM.
5 years ago, in the financial crisis, Americans seemed to stop spending, and the economy is still recovering. This week, in our series Consumed, we're exploring whether we can afford our consumer economy. To do that, a full-time job would be helpful to pay all those bills. As Sarah Gardner reports from the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, that is something a lot of 20-somethings aren't that familiar with.
26-year-old Rachel Bailey of Athens, Georgia, is a cobbler, not the shoe leather kind. Bailey cobbles together jobs.
I am a server at a fine dining farm-to-table restaurant,
where she also has a side gig doing marketing.
Like, I manage our webpage, our social media.
And then there are her temp jobs.
Everything from freelance magazine journalism to prosthetic breast sales to art direction for a restaurant that just opened up in Asheville.
Rachel's patchwork of jobs added up to about $28,000 last year. After she pays rent, student loans, groceries, and the like, there's not much left. Her roommate, Alyssa DeHaze, who has a full-time job, earns even less.
I have a 98 Honda Civic, and God bless that car. It's hanging in there.
If the consumer economy needs freewheeling spenders, it's skating on thin ice with millennials. This underemployment thing, it's putting a big crimp in their consumption. Part-time and temp work is on the rise, and labor economist Heidi Shierholz says when young people start out in a lousy job market, they never make up the lost earning power.
10 to 15 years of lowered earnings. And I look at that, and I think that's the down payment on a house.
Poor job prospects are also making 20-somethings gun-shy about borrowing, another linchpin of the consumer economy. 25-year-old Sibel Yaman in North Carolina swore off credit cards after racking up $3,000 in debt. She just landed her first full-time job, a mortgage sales assistant. Not a dream job, but a steady paycheck, more than some of her friends have.
I know a lot of great, smart, brilliant people that just want to have solid work.
The house, the car, the kids, they'll have to wait. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
As we explore the affordability of the consumer economy in our Consumed series, you can play our Worth It or Not game at marketplace.org. Click on Consumed the Game. It's fun and educational. And moving up the Hot 100, as Casey used to say, George Orwell's novel 1984 about Big Brother monitoring in the totalitarian state. 1984, the centennial edition with a foreword by Thomas Pynchon, comes in at number 74 on the Amazon sales listing this morning. Before the National Security Agency monitoring leaks, it was at number 11,855. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.